wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. There are three things that ailed him: conceited pride, dangerous curiosity, and the bigoted assumption of his equality with Almighty God. Man is becoming more devilish every day. He is saying, like Satan at the time of his fall, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." We are not surprised to see a no-God communistic nation show such a spirit, but for a once God-fearing people to have such aspirations is most deplorable. Let us not forget how man once tried to build a tower to reach the heaven, and you know what happened. God confused their languages and chaos existed, and with all his achievements, man has never mastered languages and gotten men back to speaking the one language. I believe we soon shall see the chaotic destruction that man is again bringing on himself by his space and planet's aspirations. God made the earth for man and man for the earth. Both are perfectly fitted for each other. Do telescopes reveal a more attractive home on other planets? The devil is at his old tricks. In Eden, he convinced Eve that God was trying to cheat man out of greater blessings. And so the devil is telling space scientists today. Neighbor, we do well to heed the biblical advice. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. All we need to know about the vast universe around us and the eternity before us is revealed to us in God's Word. The Bible reveals there are two extremes in God's universe. The one is heaven and the other is hell. They are the very ends of all matter. No depth is deeper than hellfire, and no height is higher than God's heaven. Neighbor, there are two long journeys, either one each man must take. The one is from earth to heaven, and the other is from earth to hell. But the Bible also presents something more than that, and on this I will speak to you. Some people go from heaven to hell, while others go from hell to heaven. In only two verses of the Bible do we find the words heaven and hell in the same verse. In the Old Testament, it speaks of wicked men trying to flee from God, as it says, "Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down." In both the Old and New Testament, hell is the end of the road. The furthest people can ever go down and away from God, the deepest depth of God's universe. And in the New Testament, our Lord Jesus said, "Thou Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell." As hell is the deepest depth, so heaven is the highest height in all God's universe. Some folks won't go up in an airplane, and if they had a transport to Mars, they wouldn't go on a free ticket. But each one of us must take a journey much further, whether up or down, a journey to the very end of the universe, the dead end. Which will it be for you, my neighbor? Up to heaven or down to hell? Heaven and hell, both in the same Bible, the same chapter, the same verse. You cannot be honest and believe in the one without accepting the other. Heaven and hell, two solemn, eternal, and God-revealed realities that each one of us must experience. Heaven and hell, two destinies to which all are passing. Heaven and hell, two conditions, the one of rest and comfort, the other of fire and torment. Heaven and hell, of these man knows nothing, nor can he find out anything by his wisdom. But Christ has drawn away the veil to show us their realities. I will first speak of those who go not just from earth, but from heaven to hell. The first one was Lucifer, or Satan. Of him we read in Isaiah 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" And then comes God's verdict on him, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell." In his original creation, Satan was the most beautiful, the wisest, the most powerful of all created beings. No doubt of his being in heaven, he was there. And he knew the light and glory of God's presence. He knew the holiness and righteousness of God's throne. But through pride, he fell and instigated sin in God's universe. He is now spreading rebellion against the Lord and his laws. And one day that fallen devil will reach his eternal abode, hell fire. Satan was the first to go from heaven to hell, but he is by no means the last. Our Lord said, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell." The people of Capernaum had not been bodily in heaven, but heaven had come down to them, for where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. As our Lord preached to them, they were exalted to heaven. A trip to the throne of God could have afforded them no greater light. What would you think of a man who was taken by an angel to heaven and then returned to earth to rebel against God, live in sin, and go down the devil's road to hellfire? And what you think of that man is also true of the people of Capernaum, and maybe of yourself as well. Judas Iscariot was such a man. For had Judas spent 3 years in heaven, it could have been no greater than those 3 years he spent day and night with Jesus, eating and rooming with him, hearing him pray and preach, seeing his divine miracles, and yet Judas took the way to hell. Satan was the captain. He led the way from heaven to hell. The people of Capernaum followed. Judas joined the hell-bound throng. Now we shall ask others in hellfire. Say, were you ever in heaven? One young woman answers, "Yes, I was. My widowed mother walked with God, and she read the Bible and prayed with her children. My sister went her way, but not I. I went the sinful way of the world, trying to forget it all. And now in these burnings, I still see my mother in the little home cottage. It was all of heaven I will ever know." Our hearts are moved. So we question a big man, "Were you ever in heaven?" He answered, "Yes, I was, for my wife was a real Christian. I know, for I lived with her 20 years. When I cursed her, she would pray for me. When I abused her, she would look to her Jesus, and some kind of a heavenly grace would control her. Now she's gone to heaven. She made our home a heaven while I tried to make it a hell. I'm scared of that awful judgment day. If God calls up my wife to witness against me, it'll be unbearable." We approach another, once a promising young man, but now a wicked derelict in hell. In reply to our question, he answers, "Yes, I was. That night in that gospel tabernacle, all the meeting, I felt I was in God's presence. I saw my awful sins. Every verse the preacher quoted was right for me. The Holy Spirit strove in me. And then I said, 'No, not tonight.' And I left the place. I went from bad to worse and ended here. I just can't forget that night when I was so near heaven, so near the kingdom of God. Oh, the multitudes who have turned away from heaven to choose hell. We must learn that each one makes his own choice. The Christian parent cannot choose for his son, the widowed mother for her daughter, the godly wife for her husband, or the evangelist for his hearers. God's word rings out, 'I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. Choose you this day whom ye shall serve.' Each one chooses both his course in life and his eternal destiny. It's not a chance, but a choice. Man is not a victim of fate, but sovereign of his own choice. Therefore, he must bear the consequences. But why will a man turn away from heaven to go to hell? It is most unreasonable, but it is true, just as true as a man turning down a cup of milk to take alcohol, or a man leaving a nice wife and children and running off with a dirty harlot. But both are true. Man knows better, but still he chooses the evil way. But thank God there are others, and they go from hell to heaven. As Satan is captain on the road from heaven to hell, so Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation on the road from hell to heaven. But was he, the Lord of glory, ever in hell? As he hung on Calvary's cross, he cried, "I thirst," as the pangs of hell laid hold on him.
He was God forsaken when he bore our sins in his own body on Calvary. An eternity of hell's torments he endured for me in those 3 hours of suffering on Calvary. And from hell he went to heaven. Christians can see much further than the biggest telescopes, for with the eye of faith they can look up to the highest peak of God's universe, into heaven itself, and say, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. The Lord Jesus, our captain and forerunner, is leading his band from hell to heaven. But were they ever in hell? I knew a pious religious woman, 25 years a church member, but one night in a gospel tent, the evangelist said, now let us take the lid off hell and see who was there. For the first time, that woman saw herself a wicked sinner and hell-bound. The pangs of hell so laid hold on her that for 3 days and nights she cried, what must I do to be saved? And here is my testimony. That day and night when I was under conviction of sin, I saw myself to be the biggest sinner in the world. I was as miserable as a person could be, for I saw myself sinking in my sins into hell. So this much I can tell you. Those who are saved and heaven-bound, all of them realize they deserve to go to hellfire. And they testify that the Lord Jesus pulled them out of the pit of sin and snatched them as a brand from the very burnings of hell. They were rescued from hell, and they shall be in heaven as they made the Lord Jesus their choice. And so it is that some people go from hell to heaven, while most people still go from heaven to hell. But some people say, I see my folly. Is it too late to change? No, it is not. Remember, Saul of Tarsus was once at the gate of heaven as he watched that man of God, Stephen, die with the glory of heaven on his face. And yet Saul turned away, and in hellish rage he sped down the Damascus road and down the road to hell. But he was challenged and halted by the Lord Jesus himself, and was so convinced of sin he trembled in fear and cried, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? From that day Christ was his captain, and Paul was heaven-bound. I plead with you to stop in your wicked way and repent, and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. He will save you, even you, and now, right now. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Neighbor, I know I must be a strange kind of a preacher to you, for I'm always speaking to you about hellfire. Tell me, was Noah a crazy preacher because he always was telling those people about their sins and that flood that was coming? Just so. I see you racing down that broad road to hellfire, and I must cry with all my voice, flee from the wrath to come. And why am I always preaching to you about the Lord Jesus Christ? It is because he's the only one who can save you from your sins and from hellfire. There's no other Savior. And without Christ, you're without God and having no hope. And so every sermon of mine is preaching Christ Jesus. And I try earnestly, you know that, to show you just how to get right with God and receive Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior. And so once more, I beg you to get alone with God. Get on your knees and just pour out your heart in confession of your wickedness and seek his mercy, and then call on the Lord Jesus to save and change you, for you to be a real Christian, as you confess him, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.